Our first open forum speaker is Tom Krafka, and he wants to speak about bighorn sheep.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, it's a bit unfortunate that I'm talking about bighorn sheep now before the proposal comes out, but it's just the way this meeting is arranged. I've written this out. I'm going to read it. It's all there for you to see. Bighorn sheep are special to me. I'm one of a relatively small number of people who have spent the time, money, blood, sweat, and tears to take the so-called Grand Slam of North American sheep. I will hunt sheep again if I draw a tag. I've applied in South Dakota 42 years, Nevada 35 years, and Montana 25 years, unsuccessfully, obviously. A few years ago, I was one of the small group of people who managed to convince enough sportsmen and the South Dakota Game Fishing Parks to make a bighorn sheep tag available for auction. The argument used with this auction money would be used to support bighorn sheep management, to increase the number of sheep, and eventually be able to increase the number of tags. Hopefully our grandsons will be able to draw a tag. Sportsmen were promised that the funds would go for bighorn sheep management. Apparently the new plan calls for money in excess of the 3-year average of the auction price to be diverted to pheasant habitat. Just a few numbers. If a tag were to bring $285,000, which is a possibility, then $200,000 would go to pheasants. That would be 0.1% of the $200 million currently spent on various federal and state programs for pheasant habitat, a mere drop in the bucket. If the entire $285,000 was spent on bighorn sheep, it would almost double what's being spent on bighorn sheep today. The new auction plan also apparently calls for South Dakota to hold a standalone auction, perhaps tied to the governor's pheasant hunt. Midwest Wild Sheep Foundation has been an exemplary partner over the past few years, returning approximately $1.15 for every dollar of the gavel price of the tag. If South Dakota decides to go it alone, there will probably be substantial costs associated with the auction, so less than the gavel price will be realized. Auction tags are of two types and two different bidders. Ordinary tags, such as South Dakota's have been, typically sell in the $50,000 to $100,000 range. Special tags, where there's expectation of high record book RAM or new record RAM, are in a different category. These special tags have been sold occasionally over the past 20 years in the $300,000 to $400,000 range. These bidders are in a special category, and if there are pictures or video evidence of a new record RAM, it's possible South Dakota sheep could bring that. At the Wild Sheep Foundation auction, the mantra is putting sheep on the mountain, much in the same way as it's for the ducks at a DU auction. Most of the bidders will be of that mindset. If South Dakota holds an orphan auction and the proceeds do not go for bighorn sheep management, it's highly likely the enthusiasm will be less. This tag is property of citizens of South Dakota, not any person or any organization, and maximum return for South Dakota should be the goal. Maximum return can be obtained by having it auctioned off at a Wild Sheep Foundation event and the funds dedicated to bighorn sheep. And above, that's my opinion, but I've been to these auctions and I've talked to these people. My most important message, and it's very appropriate that this is at this meeting where we discussed the public comment and public interpretation. The entire sheep auction plan, including all the nuts, bolts, and warts, should be submitted for public comment, and after careful consideration and examination, the commission should have the final say on how the auction is performed. Kelly, I want to thank you for bringing that up, too. Since I have to do this before, I don't know what the proposal is going to be. If the entire proposal sees the light of day, I'll be behind it, Kelly. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Tom. Our next speaker is Representative Tim Goodwin, and he wants to speak about trapping.
Well, Mr. Chair, committee members, and Secretary Hepler, Thanks for having the meeting here today. On behalf of Senator Russell, Representative Julie Fryer-Miller, and myself, Representative Tim Goodwin, we appreciate you having in District 30. Our district is Fall River County, Custer County, and Southern Pennington, and we're pretty proud of our district, and anytime you want to have your, you can have all your meetings here as far as we're concerned. I just want to talk a little about the predatory trapping program that you have going on, and how I really appreciate you guys doing that and the excitement that's out there. We have a home also on Lake Thompson, and I was back there. I went to church, to my wife's church, and it's called New Hope. It's over by Haytie. It's out in the country. And that's all anybody wanted to talk about was trapping. And the fact that you haven't got all the traps out isn't hindering anybody. They're going to buy in their own traps. In fact, if you go East River and try to buy a live trap, it's pretty hard to find one. Everybody's got them and they're trapping and they're talking about it. And I've never seen so much excitement from a program. So I credit you for doing that. I mean, there's a few people, what do they call it, the vocal minority, not the silent majority, that are complaining about it, but you know, hold steady. I read an article in the paper, a letter to the editor in the Journal. Thank God they say where they're from when they write the articles. This lady was from Oregon, and there was a starving wren in a trap. I'm not sure what a starving wren looks like, but she was really upset because somebody had a wren in a trap for a while and it was starving. So, I mean, if that's the worst we can do, I think we're in pretty good shape. But I just want to tell you a little bit about a couple of things that progressed as we tried to get this thing put together in the legislature. I'm a majority whip, and so I get to go to the governor once a week, has a dinner, and we get to go over there and go over with her and her staff. That's not all of her staff, because you're never there, so I don't know why you're not there, Secretary. But anyway, it's she has invited you. Anyway, it came up on the predator thing, and she had everything listed except for possums, and so I just brought up that I thought maybe possums should be on the list. And, of course, all my other buddies there, a bunch of hyenas, they all started laughing hysterically, and they thought I was trying to set the government up like it wasn't, the governor up like there wasn't really possums East River. And a lot of these guys are, you know, I call them couch potatoes. They don't ever get outside. And so she listened to me afterwards. She talked to me about it. So I even got called into the majority leader's office and kind of counseled about it. I shouldn't be putting the governor on these wild goose chases and that, you know, telling her that there's possums and making this stuff up, you know. So today in the paper, I'm vindicated. Possums that don't exist in eastern South Dakota by amateur trappers using a cage trap, which is much more difficult than a leg trap to catch something, there were 744 possums caught. 744. So I think there's just a few around. And it's an, like you said, Secretary, it's an invasive species. They came up here and, you know, they not only eat the hen, they eat the eggs and everything else. So, I just appreciate everything you've did. I've never seen anything with, like I said earlier, so much excitement. And so, I mean, it's credit to this commission. And I can tell you, by and large, the legislature, the Game Fish and Parks Commission's a friend. We don't look at it as an adversarial committee. Anything you guys want, we try to make it happen. We really do. And we have a governor, too, that's, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, this lady's crazy about hunting and fishing and being outside, so that's pretty cool. I just want to switch gears and talk about one other thing quick. And I thought about it when I was sitting here, but within Custer State Park, there's a Indian, I'm not going to call it a burial ground, but it's a living site, and they did a dig on it. School of Mines did a few years back, and I got the data on it, where it goes back 10,000 years. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar, but, you know, Moses, I think, was 5,000 years ago. So there was people living here in Custer State Park 10,000 years ago. And, you know, if we want to do something with it, I might be the only guy that knows where it's at in the room. I'm not sure. But, you know, maybe next year if you have your commission meeting here or something, if you want to go visit it. I mean, if there's two ways to look at that. Are we going to commercialize it like the Woolly Mammoth site down in Hot Springs, or what do you want to do? But it would be an area of interest that's right here, you know, on state property. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because I'm sure a lot of you never even knew that it existed. So, but, yeah, it's pretty cool. It isn't really a burial site because they don't really have bodies, but it shows at different levels throughout history how far down it goes. And there's, you know, their tools they used and, you know, their dogs and all that. And they can actually prove 10,000 years. So, and they had to quit the dig, School of Mines dig, because they ran out of money. So it could go farther back than 10,000 years. So if you guys want to do something with that, you know, maybe we could do something. So other than that, just thank you for everything you do and appreciate, you know, all your hard efforts.
I think we have a question for you, Mr.
Yes, sir.
That Commissioner Locke can hear, that's a a good idea with a burial site. One thing about the opossums in eastern South Dakota, they said after last year's winter, most of the tails are frozen off.
Bring the ears in.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the public testimony.